Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and I don't know what time it is around the world, but it's that time, okay? In fact, I'm going to look at the world clock and see what time it is in other countries. But welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. This is September the 16th, 2023. And just in a matter of months, we're going to be going into 2024. How time flies. you know, normally the first thing that I try to discuss is what's happening in the political field because, you know, politicians and corporate America is always in the news. It's always stuff like that going on. There's a lot of stuff that we see in the news. Some people just ignore the news. They just go by their days and like, you know, I don't care about what's happening with this and the other, but you should pay attention to it. Whether you care about it or not, it doesn't matter, but you should pay attention. But today I've decided that I want to talk about something before we talk about the political thing that's going on. Last weekend was really kind of, well, I'm not going to say kind of, traumatic for a couple of us here at TMGS. For you guys that tune into the show on a regular basis, you know Janet Davis. She's my right hand. She's a co-host here, many other co-hosts, and a lot of different individuals that are on every Saturday with us and discussing certain things. Janet didn't make the show because of something she had to deal with, something that happened personally. And that was understandable, you know, for me. But then, that was Saturday. But then on Sunday, something happened with me. That was catastrophic. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk about certain things, and Janet's going to come on the board in a moment, and I'd like for her to, if she don't mind, just a little bit share what occurred with her, and then I'll share what happened with me. All in one weekend. All in one weekend, things can change. And how do you handle those situations that come about, those unexpected ones, especially when it comes for a loss of a loved one, a loss of a, you know, just a loss period. It doesn't have to be a family member. Loss of, you know, your home, your car, your job, you know, just a loss of something. That could be a setback, or that could be detrimental, or that can affect you moving forward. And the key thing we want to get through with this whole topic is, how did you move forward? How do you move forward? Because we've all lost something or someone. It's the circle of life, I guess, as they say in the, you know, the Lion King thing. Circle of life. You can't keep everything. You will lose a lot of things during this circle of life. I'm just curious. And I really, really, really would love for people who are on the board, or people who are listening online or listening through the internet. By the way, the chat room is open. If you don't want to talk live on the air, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS and join the chat room. And if you're listening to this conversation, you can share, you know, your thoughts about it. Type it in. I'll read it on the air. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic of my co-host. And by the way, I want to say this. Timon Ship, who's normally here every Saturday, he will not be here today because it's his birthday weekend. He's enjoying himself, and I think he said he's going to Malibu, California. But anyway, happy birthday, Timon. Enjoy yourself. Timon, awesome. Timon Ship. Check him out. You know, if you see him performing, a great comedian, just a great guy, period. All right, but he won't be here today, but you know, I appreciate him being here when he's available. All right, so let me open up the microphone of the one, the only, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Hi, Michael. I started to be silent on that introduction. It sounds like I'm getting ready to be in a fight.
A fight? Well, there ain't going to be no fight.
Boxing
thing. You know, I gotta do that. I mean, it's just it's like, well, yeah. You know, you are the reigning champion, okay, on the TMGN. You know, I mean, I have to tell you guys, hey, Janet does basically all the research of what the topics are on the show every Saturday. So, you know, I have to give her much. She does the research and posts it on all the social media, you know, apps that we work with. So I have to give her props. That's how come I do that. You are the reigning champion, you know.
If you say so, Michael.
Well, I mean, I think everybody else will agree, you know. It takes a lot of work, you know, and I truly appreciate that, because as I said, when it comes to that. Now, when it comes to getting guests on the show, that's my job. Okay, I have to search out the guests and do the interviews and everything. So Janet does the research on the topics and everything. I do the, you know, hunt for guests on the show a lot, okay, and special guests. In fact, we do have a few other guests that are going to be joining us later on before the end of the year. We do have two new shows that I've been working on starting. You know, but this whole thing that just happened recently with me has kind of put a monkey wrench in it. But, you know, I'm not going to let that bother me. But first of all, like I said earlier to start the show, we normally talk about politics and mm-hmm. what's going on, but I wanted to go into this other topic. Last weekend, and if you don't mind sharing with the listeners, you weren't on the air. A very, very understandable reason, because I feel how you felt, you know, because I have kind of something similar happened to me about your pet and everything. You mind sharing what occurred?
Well, it started Friday of last week. My female dog, Rose, she was a Maltipoo. She wasn't feeling well, and she hadn't been feeling well for maybe a couple of weeks, but then she started having like a cough, sounding like she was congested, and she wouldn't let me bathe her. But I finally, that Friday, after calling the vet, and they said, we can get you in Friday evening. This was on Thursday. I said, great, you know, so I got her bathed and her nails cut and everything, and took her into the vet. I didn't get an appointment until like 5 o'clock. I'm thinking my dog had just a cold. And then they came back telling me, the vet came back telling me that my dog had a heart murmur. Her heart was only at beating at less than 40%. And they were talking like almost airlifting her to a pet hospital, and that how much it was going to cost just for an x-ray and just a shot for pain, it was going to cost me $600 to start. And then they said it was no guarantee that my dog was going to pull through, and that it was going to be very expensive. So I had to make a major decision real quick. So I called my oldest son and told him what was going on. And together we decided to go on and just put Rose, my dog, down, because it was going to be too expensive, and I didn't want to see her suffer, because she had got where she couldn't hardly even walk. Within 2 days, she went down, you know. So I put my dog down on Friday. I come home like around 7. I got back to the house, and my other dog, Bailey, he was a little over 16 years. He has had dementia and cataract in one eye. He was walking around kind of looking for Rose, and I was petting him and everything, and he slept a lot. Well, that morning, he went out to go relieve himself. He came back in. Then he wanted to go back out again, so I let him out. And I'm looking for him to come back, and I'm standing at the door, and he didn't come back. So I went in the yard. I got a big yard. So I was in the front, the side, the back, looking for my dog, and I couldn't find him. So I started calling him, and I said, now, that's not like him. He doesn't leave the yard, you know, at all. Mm-hmm. And so I get to the middle of the yard after looking for my dog, running from the front to the back and calling him. I saw a lady in a white car pull up to the stop sign before I, you know, started calling them. And then she pulled over into this new subdivision parking, you know, entrance, and she sat there. And I was like, that's all right. I'm still calling my dog. Then all of a sudden, I saw cars slowing down, lining up, and people hollering and talking, saying, we got to get help, and anybody got a blanket, and talking all this stuff. And I went to the middle of my other next-door neighbor yard, and I said, what's going on over there? They said a dog got hit by a car, and I lost it. I had Bailey for over 16 years, and he was trying to get up. They said he was alert, and he was standing up on his front legs, and he was patting, but he couldn't move the back because somebody had ran over him. So one guy put him on a blanket, and they set him in the back seat of my car, and I took him to the veterinarian hospital, and I called them to let them know that was coming. So they came right out and got my dog, and they took him back, and they gave him something for pain. And then they came out to say, this is going to cost you at least $600 to start just for pain medicine and an x-ray. I'm like, what the heck is this? Okay, I knew my dog had lost a lot of blood because I saw the blood that came out of my dog, but it came out of the rectum. It wasn't like he had a gash, open gash and stuff. So somebody smashed my dog and damaged the inside, and they said that it was probably his spinal damage. So I had to make another quick decision to put him down.
Right.
Two dogs less
this
than
happened,
10 hours apart.
This happened in less than, what, 16 hours, I
it
guess?
It was like 10 hours, about 10 hours apart from each other.
Wow. And
of
both
me
dogs,
putting Rose down and coming home, and then Bailey the very next morning around the same time he was put down. So I'll say 12 hours. I lost both dogs.
So here's the thing I want to kind of like share with the listeners, and I really like for folks to, if you're a pet owner, if you have a pet, all right, you know, how do you look at your pets? You know, some folks have pets just to have guard dogs, right? They chain them up to a tree or a pole in the backyard, and, you know, and to me that don't make no sense when you do that, chain them up. How are they guarding anything? You know, they can't go anywhere. And to me, those folks that do that, they're just using those dogs for maybe fighting dogs. So, okay, I'm the same. But now if you have a dog well-trained and living inside your home, train them to know, you know, to let you know they need to go outside and do their business, and they're protecting you in the home, that's a different thing if you take time out to do so. But most people
I have small dogs, and we were more like people. Small dogs.
But the thing is that we're here by you having small dogs, they're very much aware of anything that was out of the way, or they heard anybody, they were yelping, you know, barking, this and the other to let you know something's not right, okay? I'm just saying in general is that there are folks who have dogs for different reasons than others. And I know they were very protective of you. And as you said that, you know, when you felt a certain way, they could sense it. And let's go into that whole thing about how smart dogs really are, where they can sense, you know, something's not right with you. You follow me?
There are dogs that can smell, right?
They can sense it and sense the smell of something. That's amazing how dogs can do that. That's amazing, you know.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, my dog, Bailey, he would always, if I had an issue with seizures or whenever I had an issue with high blood pressure or low blood pressure or my sugar was too high or too low, he would tap me like a grown, like a person actually tapping you on the shoulder or something. He would tap me and constantly tap me to keep me from, like, dozing off. He could tell when something was wrong with me before I knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. Even when I was real sick and had abscess on the liver, all my pets would not leave the house because they knew I was sick. They just stayed right up under me.
They could sense that I was sick.
Mm-hmm. So it lets me know to check my blood pressure, check my sugar. Whenever he would tap me, I knew something wasn't right. And in 99.9% of the time, it was something like my blood pressure or my sugar.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
He would not let me go doze off or anything until after it passed. And then he'd go and lay down, you know. Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, for folks that are listening in, again, I ask you to chime in if you know of stories like this and experience it yourself. You know, call in or if you had this same type of experiences and any kind of experience with your pet that you felt like was like wow, you know, wow factor. When you shared about the fact that your dog Bailey would normally go out and then come back, you know, and of course scratch on the door, bark or whatever to get back in, and you didn't get that response, and then come to find out your dog was unfortunately hit by a car.
Yeah, and he was trying to get up, and the guy who found them.
Yeah, but I'm saying that where that's interesting because dogs know that something's wrong. Let me share this little bit of a story. Years ago, back when I was a youngster, when I lived in Altadena, California, I remember there was a YMCA pool back behind our house. And I know it's, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but there was a YMCA in our neighborhood. It wasn't no big building. It was just so secluded. It was a day camp. It had like 5 acres of land where it was a day camp during the summer. I wish they had something like that now. I mean, it was wooded. They had all kinds of the things for the kids, you know, the dew and everything. It was just a beautiful piece of property. And I remember years ago where our female Doberman had passed away. We still believe that the neighbor next door poisoned her. But anyway, I came home from the day camp, and I was sitting in the den, and, like, the windows of our den was towards the backyard, and our male Doberman, Hans, kept jumping up and looking in the window, and he was whining. And, you know, I was like, okay, no big deal. You know, he's probably hungry. Let me get some food. So I went to get the food and take it out back, and he was still whining. And I set the food down. He didn't touch it. He kept running to the back pen, which was like a little closed-off area we would put the dogs in whenever we had company and we went to the backyard, right? And it was like behind the garage, so it was like a closed-in area. But at this time, he kept running back and forth and coming to me and whining. Then it hit me. Where's Kane, the female? And I'm like, yeah, I ain't seen her. So I walked to the pen. It's like he was leading me. And he walked me to the pen, and I looked. And Candy's laying there dead. Unresponsive at all. I mean, no response. And, I mean, it hurt me. I'm like, what happened? Well, earlier what had happened, a couple of months earlier or so, the neighbor's dog was having a little tussle with Caney through the wooden fence. And there's, you know how you have those knots in fences sometimes that pop out. Caney got a hold of that dog's nose one time and damn near ripped it off. And I still to this day think that the neighbor did something, put something over our fence that Caney might have ate it. I may be wrong, but I doubt it. But then what occurred, we could let Hans out and he would not leave the perimeter of the house. If we let him out, he'd go sit on the front porch. And one day we let him out, or one of my brothers did, and he got out, and my brother went in the house, came back, and he was gone. And we never saw Hans again. Because it's a, in my opinion, it's like just like with Bailey, they'll go search for their mate, right, or their friend.
Mm-hmm.
And they will take that chance and go out of the perimeter that they're used to. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, sure. He was looking for her.
Yeah. Because
I was looking for her at night. I didn't even sleep in the room. I slept on the sofa in the living room because I didn't want him wandering, trying to go out the bedroom every few minutes. So I just stayed up and, you know, still slept in the living room. And you never know what's going to happen because I would have been out there right with him. I didn't think he was going out the yard, you know. Saying he was alert, but he couldn't walk because he was standing up on his front legs because he heard me calling him, you know. I was hollering, Perry, you know, and he was trying to come back to the house. So I was devastated when, you know, the neighbors were real good, you know. Two of the guys that helped me came by the next that evening to get off, you know, off their condolences and stuff. And the next day, one of the men brought me some flowers and to me about, you know, everything that had happened and how sorry he was. But they weren't the ones who did it. But the thing is, if someone hits your animal, don't run off from it. You know, I think that's terrible when you hit an animal and you just leave it suffering.
Well, you know, the thing is that when you hit anybody and it was not intentional, there's unfortunately, you know, there's people who hit folks who hit human beings. And that human being who was hit was at fault. They step into the road. You didn't. I mean, you drive and you hit the brakes. The car skid, and they were so far off in the road, you couldn't. You know, you couldn't avoid it, right? And so things that were here's the thing that you get yourself in trouble for. Well, hold on.
Right.
Here's the thing: is the worst thing to do. If you are not guilty, don't make yourself guilty by running away. Don't do that. Because the moment you do that, you know, well, first of all, if you stop, you know, and render aid, you're in a good position. You stop, call 911, say, hey, look, someone stepped out on the road as I was driving, and, you know, I couldn't stop, and you know, I hit him, you know. But if you leave, now you are getting yourself in more trouble. Now, if you're under the influence of something now, that's up to you. But I'd rather, you know, do the right thing than add on more charges that could get you in more trouble. Now, granted, we're talking about a dog. Still, again, that's a living.
But for some people, Mike, can I say something, please? For some people, dogs, their pets are like people. They're, you know, you can't say it was a dog because it was like a child to me.
Correct.
Both of my dogs.
And that's what I'm trying to explain, is that where it doesn't matter. You know, if a dog runs out on the road and you hit it, okay, you know, at least stop. And of course, other folks are going to see that and be like, hey, look, I didn't see it. You know, it just ran out here, you know. And your dogs are super dogs. You know, stop. Don't just keep traveling. You know, try to be some assistance regardless.
Right. The lady that was in that white car that parked over on the side waiting, she gets out the car when there's like, somebody, we need help. We need help. We got to get this pet to the hospital. She said, well, if you call the animal hospital, they'll probably come and pick them up. And that's when I hollered, what's going on? You know, because all these cars were lining up like they were getting ready to tailgate or something.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea my dog was around at the corner of the house on the corner driveway.
Yeah,
right there.
Right. You're just two houses away from the main road, right?
I'm the second house.
Right, the second house from there. So you guys, so what I'm doing today, and we're going to get into some other things there, where this is why Janet was not on the air last Saturday, and of course I didn't want her to come on, you know, because she was going through all that. She already said she wasn't going to come on the show. She said she'd try, but probably doubt it. But then a day later, on Sunday, I'm at work, and I'm busy, you know, doing what I do and everything, managing my departments and everything. And I get a phone call of where, hey, Michael, the house caught on fire. In my mind, initially, I thought it was just a joke. That's the first thing that hit me, was like, you're right. I'm like, what did you just say? Yeah, the house got on fire, but not so bad on our side. So let me give you guys just a little gist of it. Where I lived was basically a duplex of a very large house that was split into two sections. You know, a nice size house. Wooded, sits up on a hill. You know, I'm like, okay, cool, this is all right. You know. When I moved there, everything was cool. But then, come to find out, the fire started from the unit next door, and it was an electrical fire. You can't put out electrical fire with water. So what happens when the fire department comes and they realize that's the type of fire it is, there's a certain chemical they have to use that has a stench like nothing else. So when I left work and got to the house, by the time they had the fire out, and then there's no lights. And I'm walking up. In fact, when I get out the car, And like I said, the house is way up. You know, the driveway is a long driveway. I can smell the soot and all that stuff all the way down to the road. And as I'm walking up and it's complete darkness, that's the scariest thing. Because now I know, and I have two phones. I have my personal phone and my company phone, which charged all the way up. So I turn on the flashlight on the company phone and proceed to go inside my unit. And my heart really sunk. I was like, I can't believe this. The ceiling was torn all the way out in almost every room. There's sheetrock from the ceiling busted up all over the floor, over insulation in the attic, covering everything. And as I'm walking through, I'm hearing this squishy sound because, of course, the water mixed in with all the stuff I just said. And I go to my room and I look. It's just like, wow. I'm in total shock, to be honest.
Speechless. Correct.
I'm truly speechless. I didn't cuss. You know, some folks be like, damn, mobile, what the? I couldn't do that. In fact, that's not my nature. I'm not that type of person. I'm just in total shock. Like, wow, this is real. But it was so real, in a sense. And what I did was, I have an office chair, of course. You know, I have, you know, like when I do the show, I have a setup and this and the other. First thing I did, well, true enough, I had to look at all my computers and my laptops and everything. You know, really, I had like two laptops and everything. I grabbed them, put them inside of a case, and everything. And I'm thinking, what else do I need to salvage at the moment? Thing is, I grab those things first. Because all the clothes are smoke damaged, you know, soot, this and the other. Surely can't pull
right.
them out right. And as the conversation goes on, it's like, well, for tonight, we're going to go stay at this person's place, you know, this and the other. And then the next day, we'll, you know, in fact, Red Cross was supposed to come that night. They didn't. So we stayed at a certain person's place, in downtown Atlanta. And it was so crazy. We go from this place to downtown Atlanta to this person's place who lives in a high-rise apartment and has a beautiful view of downtown. I go on. I was like, whoa, this is interesting. But next day, come back. Fire investigators come. The fire department come because they trying to see if there's any hot spots or something. And then what I did, I took my chair that I had that I normally sit in to do the show. I took it out and set it in the front yard, and I sat down. And I just, thing is that where I'm sharing that, and right now for going on a week now, I've Red Cross helped out to a certain extent, but at this point, I got to foot the bill of where I'm at. Now, there are some options I'm seeing, and possibilities of new relocations next week, a place that we're hoping to get. But how do you deal with loss, whether it be like Janet just shared? No, and not necessarily like a family member, like a human being type loss, but a pet loss, personal possession loss. How do you guys deal with that? As important, just as important, or it's okay, I can replace that. You can't replace a life. But when you look at things that are, as you said, Janet, keepsakes that are so damaged you can't get back. Now, the neighbor next door, none of their stuff survived. When I walked into their place, oh, I really felt for them more so than myself. Nothing I think maybe they had like a couple of suitcases that had stuff in it that they brought out. TVs, beds, couches, everything gone. Everything.
Can I?
Just gone.
Can I say, yeah. I'd like to say something. A lot of times people don't think about emergencies, and it's very important. It's vital when you have important documents, things that you don't want to lose, you know, because there could be a storm or anything, a hurricane, a tornado, a fire, you know, you never know what it could be, but you need to have your stuff in a safe box where you, and maybe a suitcase, like a survival kit or something, so that you can be able to just grab that and go if you can, you know, or even if you just have it in a safe deposit box.
That's a good point. Have a safe deposit box, but actually have a fire safe. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if you have fire insurance and this and the other, that's great. But it's not going to do any good when it comes. But what you just said, important documents, you need to have a fire safe box. You know, I see folks that come in and buy gun cases or gun boxes for their guns, but having a safe one that can, you know, survive fire of important documents. If you're not going to get a safe deposit box at the bank, you can have your own personal one at home of very important documents, right? That's what you're saying, exactly.
Yeah.
That's something that people need to look at. I know I'm learning from my mistake of where I should have had that all in place. Fortunately, my documents didn't get burned up, but they could have been. You know, and I could have lost a whole lot more had the fire managed to go all the way across. But it's more water damage and soot and all that type of stuff that affected everything that we had. You know, and I'm still going through stuff. I had to wash clothes 3 times in order to get, you know, that smell out of my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3 times. You know, I took them over to this. I took them over to this laundromat that a friend of mine knows the owner, and they gave me a kind of a break on it. But, you know, you never can say never. Things like this can happen. And just when I thought things were really going, this has been a setback for me and for what I've been working towards. As you guys know, there's 2 shows that were, well, some of you know, 1 show already aired, another one was scheduled to be on this coming Sunday, but, you know, it's really affected things in the long run. In fact, we're going to talk about other topics. We're going to change the topic in a minute and talk about other things. The long-term effect and how it can be a basically a ripple effect with other things. So, I'm just sharing this, you know, because last weekend was really, really one of the most unbelievable experiences I ever had.
Yeah.
Danny called me and told me about her dogs on Friday, and then what I went through on Sunday. And then Monday was 9/11, okay, but we had to reflect.
Yeah.
And then September the 13th was the anniversary of my dad's birthday, who has passed away. So it's been really an interesting mid-September for me. And
can I
I'll say
something else when you have time?
Go ahead.
I'd like to say something. Yeah. Also, you know, phone numbers. A lot of times people, because we got smartphones, don't even think about remembering a person's phone number. And when there's an emergency, you know, something might happen to your phone. You need to remember at least a couple of phone numbers, you know. People don't remember the phone numbers. And
you know,
also,
I've said that many times. No, I've said that many a times of where, right, you know, we used to have phone books. I'm not talking about Bell's cell phone book. I'm not talking about the Yellow Pages. I'm talking about we used to have personal phone books. And now you do have the cloud. where you could store stuff, you know, and save numbers and information in the cloud. But, you know, I actually have a sheet that I keep in my wallet of important, you know, family members in case something happens to my phone. If I can get a hold of a phone, I have those numbers. You got to think beyond what technology tells you that you'll be okay, you know, using
a lot of,
you know.
A lot of people don't even use the cloud. They don't even, you know, especially elderly people. I'm elderly, but, you know, a lot of people don't even think about that.
Correct.
You know, but online, there are things that you can search to look at. I mean, to read about the loss and the grief of a fire or some kind of disaster or a pet, you know, vital information that you can use as like a checklist of things that you need to do in order for you to be able to, like, call your insurance company. Because when you have something like this happens, it's kind of hard to think. You know, I walked around in a fog for almost a week, you know, so. It's not easy trying to get over something like that. So it's better to be prepared.
Right. And the gentleman that lived next door, one of the gentlemen that lived next door, he said, the next day, he said, hey, Mike, if you can help me, can you let me get $10 from you? I said, well, you don't have any money. He said, man, my wallet was in there. I don't know where it's at. He said, it more than likely it fried. I mean, that's how intense this fire was. Flames were coming out the window, according to the video that I looked at. It really was coming out the bedroom window. And, of course, I gave him $10. But, you know, certain things you have to really think about, and be prepared for them, you know. You can get insurance and everything like that. That's cool. But those processes take time. You know, you got to make sure you have, as Janet said, you know, have yourself a safe, you know, a safety box inside your home, you know, that at least it will survive it. And the things, you know, you see the movies where they have some money and they have it inside that box. You might want to put $10, you know, a week or something in that box. So that when that comes up, true enough, you can get to the bank, but at least you got some cash right there in those type of situations. And not wishing that, not saying it will happen to you, but, you know, you always hear the same thing. Well, I hear these stories on the news, but I never thought.
I thought my older dog was going to go. I didn't know my younger dog was going before the older one.
Right. So just want to share that, you guys, and we're not going to, you know, we're not going to keep on that topic. We're going to move forward to another one, but just be careful, you guys. Just be prepared because the world is changing. And, of course, it's changing every minute. It's changing as I try to segue into something else or change the topic. Janet, what's going on with this whole political thing now? I mean, I've heard the word impeach so many times. I'm looking at where here we had Donald Trump right now, four times, is being indicted, four times, been impeached. Now they want to impeach the president of the United States. Now they're going after his son, you know, what's happening here? Because what I'm looking at is this whole thing, and I want you to explain it, but I'm looking at where, as certain individuals are saying, yeah, go ahead and indict him, yeah, go ahead and impeach him, yeah, go ahead and do that. But do you realize these individuals who are pushing this, that this is your taxpayers' dollars that are being placed in certain things that really shouldn't be taking place. Can you explain that?
Wait a minute. Explain what, Michael? Explain what?
Let's start with this. tell us about the whole thing that the GOP, or I'm sorry, of the whole thing with Hunter Biden and the difference between Hunter Biden and Kushner, which is the president's former president's son-in-law. Okay. You were telling me that
right. Okay. Well, I'm a news junkie. I watch the news, I listen, I read the papers and everything. So I really don't even have to read the article. Hunter Biden has been investigated ever since Trump was trying to find something on Biden when he was president of the United States. They've been investigating Hunter Biden. They even had a special counsel, which is still there after almost 6 years, still investigating Hunter Biden. Well, when they went to court, I don't know what the guy is. I can't even think. Well, they said that they were still investigating Hunter Biden when they were supposed to be settling and everything in court. He paid his taxes. The $20 million that he made on his deals was shared between him and his partners. This was not him by himself. And his father had nothing to do with any of that when Biden was vice president, not president, vice president. And they want to do all this, but Jared Kushner, while he was in the White House with his father-in-law, he got over $3.1 billion from different foreign countries. $2 billion of it came from Saudi Arabia. $200 million came from the UAE. Then you had another $200 million come from Qatar. And the balance, except for 1%, came from other foreign countries. He was in there making deals, you know. But you were worried about Hunter Biden because he was on drugs and he got a gun and he paid the fine, but they're still trying to put him in jail. They're trying to deflect and find some on Joe Biden so they can impeach him. There's nothing on him. It has been through all the historians have said Biden has done more than even Roosevelt, who served 3 terms. Biden has done more and less than a term than what he has even done. The economy is moving and shaking. They can't find anything on him. So it's just a lot of noise. That's all. They need to look at, this is something else I found out. Wait a minute, Michael. I thought Ivanka.
Hold on just a second. I have to ask you this. Okay, so you said that historians have said that Biden has done more than many other presidents. Let me ask this question. So why is his poll numbers down so much, though? Is it where people are lack of understanding what he's done or this administration? Because now a lot of
I know why. The lack of
Hold on. Let me finish the question, and I'll let you respond. Because now what I'm seeing is a lot of advertisement about what Biden has accomplished. And I haven't seen anyone, at least I've looked, I haven't seen anyone that say that that's not true from the right based on what it says. But Biden's numbers are not up. And why is that if what he's accomplished is supposed to be true? Why is his number still down among Democrats and Republicans?
Because a lot of people only listen to the far-right news media, and they're sitting there saying that Biden is the head of a crime family. They're coming with all these lies. But their lies are not going to work. The real issue is people are afraid of the fact that if Biden serves another term and he don't make it, it's going to be a black vice president that's going to step into his shoes and become president of the United States. Now, if they didn't want Hillary Clinton.
Hold on. Just put it on pause just a second because I like that you brought that up. You and I spoke earlier, but okay. So what you're saying to me is that I see this already, is that they're already writing off Biden based on his health, that after this term, and if he does become president of the United States again, and that something happens to him health-wise, dementia, you know, you name it, anything else, or if he passed away, the next person in line would be
Kamala Harris, name? But they're signing a death warrant, okay. And he's not even sick.
Okay, so stop there for a minute. So that's a good thought process, because they're thinking ahead, like, you know, Joe Biden, you know, wins the presidency, and with his health and his age and everything, if anything happens, we're going to have the first female president, and she'll be black. Is that the fear that they have?
Yeah. You know how they were about Obama. That's why everybody going crazy right now, because of Obama being president. Because it had been said, and anybody can look, that a black man will never be in the White House, and guess who got in there?
Well, yeah, I was told that years ago. I was told when I worked in construction, Town Center Mall here in Georgia, for you folks that live in Georgia, you know what I'm talking about. I worked on that, and I remember a guy I worked with who was out of Florida up here working, and he said, that's why they call it the White House. There will never be a black man as president of the United States. His name was Frankie, and I wish to this day I could find Frankie's white ass. Yes, I said it. And let them know, oh, by the way, who did you vote for when Obama won the presidency? Not once, but twice. Hey, I got to open up this microphone. Normally a regular guest, but, you know, it's great for him to come in and chime in as a special guest host, still part of the TMGS family, Officer Crenshaw. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, Janet. Hey, Mike. I don't know who else is on. It's timing on. I just joined.
Timing is taking a break because this is his birthday weekend. He's having a great time. And where did he say he's going? But he's in California. So wherever he goes in California, he's going to have a great time. But, yeah, he's going to be off this weekend.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm here. I'm late, as usual. Shut up, Janet. And no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say shut up. Be quiet, Janet.
You were anticipating her response. That's what it was. You were anticipating her response from being late, right?
Uh-huh.
I guess.
But, you know, they might have said Obama, you know, they don't ever want a black man in the White House. And Obama really wasn't the first one. He was
That's
the
right.
first black president. He wasn't the first black man in the White House.
True.
So,
very true. There's been many a black folks in the White House, but as far as the leader I want to say this, and you guys think about this. I said to Janet earlier when we were talking about this topic, you know, only in America, where, you know, you minimalize the education, the smartness of a woman, period. Now, Hillary Clinton probably would have been the first female president, probably, right?
Right.
Because her husband was president. She had a big following, this, that, and the other. She didn't make it to that point. And like I said to Janet before, I said, well, having a woman president, and even Democrats and Republican males don't feel like a woman, not saying all, but quite a few of them be like, no, a woman cannot run the country. Right? And then especially if she's a black woman, because based on what we just said, if something were to happen to Joe Biden and Harris is the next in line, they would freak out because she would be the first woman, and she's a woman of color.
But I need to say the correct.
That has never happened. That would be another first.
I think they're trying to say that Nikki Haley is a woman of color as well. She's now
running. Yeah, she's mixed. Well, she's Janet, you asked me, was she mixed with something else? I'm not sure. Is she biracial or whatever? But I don't even know why she even running. to be honest. In fact, I don't know why any of these individuals in the Republican Party is running for president when they're still backing Donald Trump.
It's all
I don't
know. Off the shelf.
Well, they would be
only,
smart.
Only maybe two of them have said no, and that would be what's his name from New York, from Jersey, Christie would not go along. I don't think he would, and one other one. But the rest of them said, yeah, but if Donald Trump is the pick, yeah, I'll support him. How the hell are you going to support someone who's been indicted 4 times?
If you want this country back on the right track, they would be smart. We would be smart to put a woman in there.
That's right.
And I say that because look at all the single moms, okay? But if you don't just look at the single moms, look at all the women that are really running things behind the scenes as their husband is the face of the scene.
That's right. And that's what I was getting ready to say. Because
and
Michael
if you really want,
recruiting.
Yeah, if you really want a strong leader, a black woman.
Well,
because
you know what?
When,
that's interesting that you said that because I even said to Janet, I said, you know, when you think about other countries who do have female presidents.
Right. Right.
They voted them in.
They voted them in, but our ancestry, our women had to learn how to do it all. Because,
mm-hmm.
of course, when the men was drug off.
That's right.
They were forced. And then that got taught down through generations as far as being strong and independent. They work. You know, they cook, they clean, they have babies.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go through 9 months of that. You know, I joked with my kids and told my kids they were booty babies, but they didn't come out of me. I couldn't do that.
It's called multitask. Mm-hmm. Women multitask.
You know, well, they can endure the frustration and pain a lot better than
That's
men.
Right.
We get angry and want to lash out. Yes, you have some women who want to lash out, but they can endure more than we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you guys a question. Okay, well, basically you just answered it. That where you think that it's time for America to accept a female president at some point in time in the future, based on, you know, what you just said. You think that it should be, I guess, not really, well, not like an option per se, but seeing that all presidents have been male, you believe it's time to, you know, for America to open up, maybe a woman can really run the country better than a man. Now, how she fare against a male-dominated world where most of the other countries have males as their presidents?
She would be lacking one thing that most of the male have. And and I say that because, no, Janet, it's not that. I'm talking about greed. Most of the male politicians that get up there, their eyes get big, their stomach get big, they get greedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing about a woman. She's not gonna get greedy.
Financially and stuff like that. Yeah, right. I follow you on that one.
Janet, the one time I'm not talking dirty, you thinking dirty.
She's trying to flip the script on you. That's all. She's trying to flip your script. She's trying to flip your script. I don't believe Prince Paul saying this. He's keeping it clean.
But you know what, Michael? Can I say something, Michael? When you said that Hillary Clinton was a lady. She was Clinton's wife. She was a lot of a thing. She had accomplished a lot. That lesson was taken from her. It was, she was ambassador, Secretary of State.
Right. I know. I mean, if anybody even follows anything about politics, they should know that. I didn't need to go into all that. Right. She's a well-accomplished individual. But the thing is that where she's been a lawyer, she's been a Secretary of State, the people are going to look at it where she was a former president's wife. You know, so that's what I stress that part of it, because the fact that folks are going to look at it in a sense of, well, you know, Bill Clinton's just going to tell her what to do, you know, as far as being president. And that would be, but that would be a first regarding a husband and wife if she did become president. Now, when you go back to the Bushes, you know, that's where you had daddy and son. You know, son would probably listen to what the former president, which was his daddy, you know, as far as advice of how to handle the country. That's the only thing. But when it comes to a husband and wife, yeah, you have to look at it. People are going to question that whole thing. Because everything is underneath a microscope, right? Everything is underneath a microscope. In those type of situations, there's always going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be said. And I'm sure we're very much
aware of it. That's one of the reasons why they don't want Biden to win, because he would make history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was a vice president for two terms and then a president for two terms. No one else has done
correct.
It.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think that Kamala Harris has not done anything, but they just need to read. Can you spell read? R-E-A-D. Read. Look at all the things that she has done. Because somebody's not tooting their horn don't mean they're not doing something. You know, she helped those kids get back to their parents that were separated.
There was a lot of flack about how she treated her office and how she treated individuals when she was a judge, right? Correct? As far as time for certain individuals. It's an interesting thing. A lot
judge
of folks don't let that go.
But she's done the same thing that Pence did, except for run. Pence ran when they came after him.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's done the exact same thing. She stayed behind the scenes and did what was directed, what was told for her to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The only thing we know that Pence did was mess with COVID, but Kamala Harris is doing a lot. We're not having a influx of people coming across the border like they were coming before, even though she's trying to make us think that they're still coming like that, because she went over in those countries and met with them, tried to solve some of the issues. You know.
Mm. Now, let me ask you guys this real quick, and I'm gonna jump back and forth because we're still talking about politics. As you know, this month, two individuals will have to go up in front of a court regarding, you know, what they are charged for, the crimes that they're charged for. What was it? What's her name? Was it Sydney something?
Powell.
Powell, and then what's his name? He wants his separate too. It's going to come up before all the other cases. What effect do you think it's going to have with the cases coming afterwards, you know, by them going first? Do you think it's going to have an effect?
Yes and no.
Oh, and by the way, Bring It Boy has jump into the chat room. Hello, Mr. Gay, and to Janet and Officer Crenshaw, who is, I hope, in the house. If you're asking who's on the board right now, who's online, it's Crenshaw and Janet, myself.
Bring It Boy!
and since you just chimed in, Hyman is enjoying his birthday weekend, so he's not on the air with us. There are people in on the board who are listening, and they haven't hit the number one yet, though I do ask folks to do so, you know. But I do appreciate them tuning in and listening here on the call-in board, so I appreciate that. So that's who's here. Back to what I was just saying. See, Bring It Boy, you made me lose track of what I was saying.
Well, Nikki Haley is from India, Michael. I wanted to look that up and let you know. She's from
India. From where?
India.
Okay. Okay. So she's a U.S. citizen, of course. You
well, she's a U.S. citizen. Her parents are from India. Her parents are from
India. She was, well, you have to be a U.S. citizen in order to run for president or to hold any major government office. Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger, he couldn't run for president because he's not a U.S. He wasn't born in the U.S. So obviously Nikki Haley was born in the U.S. She didn't come over here.
Right.
Right.
Her parents.
So you have to be born here. Exactly. But again, I said this earlier, and I don't know if Officer Crenshaw was on the line. Why are these individuals? And over the years is what I'm trying to understand. You remember back when we were younger, kids, teenagers, you just had two candidates, maybe three, you know, because you had different parties. You had the Green Party. You had the, you know, Libertarian Party, whatever you want to call it, you know, and you had these debates. Now you've got 12, 13 people.
It was like that before my day. So they narrow it down.
I don't recall 12 and 13 people on a debate stage back when I was younger. I don't recall seeing that.
Maybe not a debate stage, but I'm telling you, I know I've seen several candidates before they picked the one that's actually the candidate.
Yes, running for office. But I'm saying, though, you having these debate stages where you have, you know, all these individuals. You know,
you gotta be the first before you can
be
to knock other people out.
Okay,
it's all about money.
I don't recall seeing this many people on a debate stage all at once in prime time. You know, well, at that time, I guess, but still, and again, you had television. You might have had, you know, a few folks, but now, again, these individuals are running for office. Their numbers are way down. And, of course, you have to get at a certain threshold to even go further, right? You know that's the rule. Now they have to have this. Now they've been this pledge in the GOP of where whoever is the pick candidate, you have to pledge to support them. What kind of BS is that? I got to sign a pledge that even though I don't agree with them, mind you, I'm running against them. I don't 100% agree with what they're saying. Yes, I agree with some things, but the way that they're handling it, I don't agree with it. But now I got to sign off and say, even if they are the picked one, I have to support them. That don't make any sense at all.
And that's because we had a president who never said that he conceded, who never said that he lost the election.
It's always been that way to where they would normally have four that would go up and run within the primary. Based on the numbers, their party would select one, and it got to the point to where you had a few, and this was years back, that wouldn't agree. So in order to keep their party together, they came out with that pledge where you have to pledge to support the one that they represent, that they want to represent their party. And it's all about money, because half of them running up there, out of the 10 or 12 or how many of it is, what do they do with the money that they earn and don't get nominated? Where does that money go?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is that where I look at, and that's a good question. But also, if you look at when Donald Trump had to come here to Georgia, where we live, right?
Right. All right.
Secret Service, who pays for Secret Service?
Taxpayers, government.
Okay. Fulton County, who pays for Fulton County sheriffs and police and everything?
Taxpayers. Taxpayers,
okay.
Government.
Well, when he got into Fulton County, he was turned over to Fulton County, and all that security that Fulton County displayed, that came out of taxpayers' money, which goes into the county, which could have been used for certain things other than the security of an individual who's been indicted 4 times. Now, granted,
right.
he was in the jail total of 8 minutes.
Now, granted, look at this, though, Mike. Indictment means they found enough to possibly say he's guilty of something.
Yeah, correct.
He's still a former president, so he's entitled to all of that through taxpayers. But if he is found guilty, I think he should be stripped of his Secret Service detail.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'll take it further. I think if he's found guilty, and whatever his monetary wealth allegedly is, should be stripped and sent to the taxpayers for his security. That's what I think.
Well,
when he came here, I think that if he's worth
a million dollars.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. I want to just finish. I want to finish out now. Shut up. Because if he's found guilty, it should be where that's, Officer Crenshaw, when you have to pay back to whatever the crime is, restitution.
Restitution.
So if he's worth $1 billion, which we never know what his real worth is, but then if he's found guilty, the money that the taxpayers paid for his security to come here, to be booked and everything, should be taken out of his account and put back into the taxpayers' fund or whatever term you want to use.
I just want him not to be able to run again. I'm not worried about some taxpayer funds for 8 freaking minutes. I just don't want the guy to be in the White House, because if he gets in there, we will no longer be a democracy.
Whoa, Janet. No, I am concerned about 8 freaking minutes that cost a million dollars. No, I am concerned about that. Because, no, Janet, I understand what you're saying, but let me say this real quickly. I am concerned. That's money that could be used for something else. If you are found guilty, and I'm saying if you are found guilty, the taxpayers should not have paid for your journey to prove you guilty. You need to pay restitution to Fulton County. That's what you have to do, in my opinion.
So that's for anybody. It doesn't matter. Not just for one person. It should be that way across the board for anybody.
Hold on. I'm hearing noise. I'm hearing noise. Okay. I couldn't hear you. Say that again.
I said that should be across the board then for anybody who's found guilty. They should pay restitution, not just one person. You can't single one person out. So the thing is, Trump tried to run for president from the time they had as soon as he went to Mar-a-Lago, he started campaigning again. He knew what was coming. That's why he started running. Before they even said an election.
Go on pause for a minute. I want to go ahead and read the board. Brigitte Boy has put up something here. I want to read what's on the chat room. First of all, said 2 close fist bumps to the chest for Officer Crenshaw. That's for you, Crenshaw. Then he says, the Dems out to pay for the BS assumptions for trying to prosecute of the failed attempts, President Trump. Bring it, boy. I'm trying to understand what you just posted because you might be typing too damn fast and not really making it clear or clarity of what you're saying here. I'll say it again. According to Bring It, boy, the Dems, meaning the Democrats, out to pay for the BS assumptions for trying to prosecution, is that what you're trying to say, of the failed attempts, President Trump. Okay, so,
well,
again, let me say this. Hold on.
So
Janet, hold on. Janet, hold on, please. So, I just want to say this in a sense of where I think that at any point that the government the taxpayers' dollars are being spent for something like this, and then, you know, this is money that could be used for something else, right? We already know, at least most of us know, that this don't look good for Donald Trump. Even Donald Trump knows this doesn't look good for him. And, you know, the cycle has to go forward according to law. And then this is unprecedented for a president, a former president, to be indicted for indictments, 90-plus charges. Unprecedented. This has never happened before. The point I'm saying is this. In preparing for his trial and the money that has to be spent through the money that taxpayers pay, if he's found guilty and if he is worth what he claims to be, keep in mind, this is the first president who, since 1960-something, since the Nixon years or so, 68, 69 or whatever, who was not open about his financial thing, who said, hey, I don't have to do that now. He said he would do it. But once he became president, he said, well, I don't have to do it now because they voted me president. I don't have to reveal my shit. That's what he basically told America. So I'm saying this, simple. If he's found guilty of any of the indictments, especially here in Georgia, then the money that it took to bring him here for 8 minutes should come out of his pocket and go back into what the money came from in order to bring his ass here. How much clearer can I be than that? That should go back into the county. Officer Crenshaw, do you agree or disagree? And Bring It, boy, you can respond to.
A little bit of both. I see what you're saying, Mike, but, I mean, that's why they have civil litigation. You know, if Fulton County wants to go after him civilly after
right
he's found guilty, then they could try to do so. Right now, he still falls under the privilege of a former president, which he's
correct.
Entitled to that. So that
well,
would
exactly.
be up to Fulton County to do that. Mm-hmm. So, yes,
I'm
and,
just giving
yes
a hypothetical.
No.
I'm just giving a hypothetical. That I just
right.
made it as
I mean,
a
they do it.
I didn't say it for sure.
Yeah, they do it all the time for other people, like the girl in Alabama that made the false cry of a baby on the highway and kidnapping. You know, they're trying to go after her now for restitution for the money that they had to spend searching for her and everything. They do it in certain cases.
Exactly.
You know,
that's my point. That's my point. Thank you, sir. You hit it right on the head.
That would be up to whether Fulton County wants to spend more of the county's money going through civil litigation, because it's going to cost money to try to get money.
That's true. Right. But what is the balance of it? And see, and the thing is that where, and that's the thing of where, do you have a case? I would think that based on, and it's a hypothetical thing, but I think that after the trial is over with, and if he's found guilty, I think they have a very good case because he's been in denial of being wrong. Well, let me finish. He's been in denial and been saying he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong and everything. And so the county had to go through process and procedure for his, you know, booking and everything. But by him, you know, if he's found guilty of where due to the fact that he denied his wrongdoing and the county had to go ahead and do process and procedure, okay, according to the law, his rights. But if he fails to show that Fulton County, if he fails to show that he's innocent of it, Fulton County spent a lot of money that could have gone to other things. You follow me? That you know, Fulton County didn't bring this on themselves. He did. So I would think that by him doing this and being in the denial, that they could actually use money to go ahead and get their money back, not just for the time that they had to bring him here, but just the process of getting their money back. So it's a double whammy for Donald Trump.
Right.
You're forcing, where Fulton County can say, you know what, we have to pay for this. We didn't bring this whole thing up. So if he's found guilty, pay us for the security we have to do here, and then pay us, and you have to pay basically court costs for filing the suit to get our money back. That's justice. That's justice. Put the money back to the county. Put the money back for the people who need it. You look
all
at what's going
on
in Fulton County Jail right now, and I'm sure you know about what's happening in Fulton County Jail. That's the most investigated jail in all of America right now. And that was before Donald Trump had to pay a visit for 8 minutes. But so many people have died there. That money that went to Donald Trump's security, this and the other, could have went into what it takes to bring that jail back up to standard, because that's one of the worst damn jails. And it's a fact.
Vote for Michael Gay, U.S. Senate District 3.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear me, Mike?
I heard you.
You make
vote
it,
Michael
you,
Gay,
I
U.S.
See
Senate
you.
District 3. Right, I heard you.
Right, I see your point. But the way that they look at everything, just like when a police officer does something wrong and he's being sued, but he falls under the color of law for his actions and they sue the department, they weigh the amount of man hours to prepare the case, the people they got to bring in and pay to testify, all of this stuff versus what the people are asking for, and then they decide on a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can take a lot of cases to trial, and if they lose, if the person's asking for $1 million, they lose. They not only pay them $1 million, but the $500,000 it took to prepare for court, they're out of too.
But you do know,
and that's how they look at it.
But you do know, Officer Crenshaw, that in most court cases, if you win the case, the individual that you're going against will also have to pay your court costs.
No, you have to ask the court to agree to that.
Levy that, right.
And the court might say, okay, you pay this person's legal fees or a percentage of this person's legal fees and the court fees.
Right. So you have to levy that cost. You have to levy that cost, because the thing is that where when you levy the cost of where, let's say for instance, I mean if I'm convicted of something, that court cost goes into my bill, right? So the thing is that where as a prosecutor, And here's someone, let's say, what we're just talking about, a defendant that's found guilty, then you could say, well, you know what, and we're talking about Donald Trump, you will have to pay the prosecution's costs too. That's restitution on both sides of where, you know, you decided to go to court. You decided not to settle out of court. You wanted to have a trial. So the trial cost falls on you, and if you lose the trial, you are responsible for all monies involved on both sides and the prosecution. Now, it varies from state to state. I'm very much aware of that. But I think that right. In this situation that we're talking about, that where the losing party, you know, to the victor goes the spoils is what's always been said. So if I win this case, the spoils come to me. You have to pay for everything. You put this ball in your court. That's what you did. You should have went ahead and knowing that you were guilty, knowing that you had 0%, if maybe 5% of winning the case, you have to suffer the consequences when you decide to go to trial instead of settle out of court. You do know that, sir. And that's a choice mm-hmm. that an individual has to make. Okay, back to the board, and I do have a hand wave. I'm going to open up their mic in a minute. Let me look at what Bring It Boy just said. You're right, my bad, Russia hoax talking to Ukraine press. Okay, I don't know. You know what? Bring It Boy, I love when you call in and share, but when you go to the chat room, I'm really at a loss of what you're really saying here. Let me go ahead and open up a microphone here. 909-732 is on the board, and they got their hand waved. Let me go ahead and open up their mic. And by the way, the time is now 727. We have a little more time left. So let's see. Is that mic open? Give me a second here, and let's see. 909-732, welcome to TMTS. What's your name and where are you calling from? What's your comment?
Hi, my name is Suzette, and I'm calling from Southern California. And good evening, everyone.
Okay. Good evening.
Hello.
So, for you guys that don't know, Boogie Boy is Suzette.
Hi.
So, hey, Suzette. What's your comment?
Well, actually, Bringing It Boy is my husband.
Oh, okay.
So he's
right.
Chatting away in the chat room. Yeah. So, I'm glad to hear everybody's doing well. Good discussion. The courts, if I may comment on that, there are two separate courts, and I think that's kind of where you're differing in and crossing each other as far as what you're saying. They have the civil courts, and then they have the criminal courts, and you can't claim money in the criminal courts because mm-hmm. that would be injury. So you can claim money as far as paying the state back because it's the state that's prosecuting a criminal case.
Mm-hmm.
And so then money would be, you know, given to that, and if there's a victim, if it was murder or something. But then again, also, that would be taken up with civil court. If you remember O.J. Simpson, he was found, he was acquitted in court, but then the family had sued in civil court, and they won.
Right.
Yeah. And
then you know what was interesting about that whole thing is that when they sued in civil court, the state of California allowed them to sue above and beyond what was the monetary amount to sue in civil court. So then that changed too. Do your research, but go ahead.
Yes. And you can do that because when you file your civil suits, it will say that you can only sue up to so much money, but then you have to file a demur or something else asking the court for above and beyond and the circumstances why. So, yes, exactly. The Secret Service, you were talking about, Mr. Gay, the Secret Service Protection Act was signed by George Bush at first, and there was a 10-year limit after your presidency, and after 10 years, and that's it. You don't get any more protection. But then Obama came into presidency, and in 2013, he signed the Presidential Protection Act of 2012, it says on there, giving unlimited until they die, I guess. So he had reversed what Bush had put down with the 10 years. And so that's
right.
where that's coming from. Unfortunately,
right.
They're receiving, you know, that protection. Now, I don't think it's necessary for a lifetime, you know, maybe maybe 2 or 3 years. But, yeah, I don't understand what the unlimited business is about. But anyway,
and I want you to finish what you're sharing with us. But now, okay, so I have to say, based on what, you know, what society in this world has become over the last, 10 years or less of the threats and the stuff that's going on, and the killings and shootings and this and the other, assassinations and this and the other around the world, I don't have a problem with presidents having Secret Service for a longer period of time. It may seem like I said that, but I really don't. But that's still taxpayers' money. What I was saying is that with this whole thing with former President Donald Trump being the type of person saying that he's not guilty of anything, I don't buy that. And taxpayers' money is being spent for this whole thing. Granted, he has his day in court coming. But I think that when you're found guilty, then you should have to deal with restitution for what the taxpayers pay for. I believe, you know, saying that this world has really changed. I'm 61 freaking years old, okay? And I've never seen the type of stuff I'm seeing now. I never imagined I would see stuff that I'm seeing now. And I get it. I get it. You've got to have more security at schools now. We had officers, actually, that walked around just to tell you, take your ass to class. Get out the hallways. No smoking in the restroom. None of them have to carry a gun. We never had a police officer stationed outside of the school in a marked car. We never have to do that. But in this society now, this is what you get. Okay? My whole thing is that where, and then when you look at the homelessness and all the stuff that's going on and looking at the waste of tax dollars, these impeachments and everything, which Jan and I talked about, where they want to impeach, you know, Biden. With what evidence? And everybody, from Democrats to Republicans, some Republicans said, I don't think we have enough evidence to impeach the president. Granted, his son is in trouble. What the hell does his daddy have to do with it at this point in time? Because it's a political point of thing. And it's all about politics. And it's all about, it's an election year that's coming. And what they want to do is just take the American public's mind off of the real thing. It's just a battle. And your dollars, your tax dollars, are going into this whole impeachment of the president of the United States right now for no reason. The whole thing, the investigations, all the investigations are your tax dollars. And I'm not saying they shouldn't investigate any wrongdoing. Just like they investigated Trump, they should investigate Biden, meaning the son. But this whole thing with the president, it's a whole different thing of your tax dollars now. Keep in mind, I'm saying your tax dollars were hundreds and thousands of dollars to millions of dollars that can really go to your community. This is just a political thing of a back and forth between parties and not giving a damn about the people. Go ahead.
Who are you saying? Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, I'm just sharing that, but I just want to hear what your thoughts about that. Do you agree with me or disagree? And the last question I want to say, do you think that Donald Trump should actually be free to be president, which he's doing now, and you think he would be a good president in a second term at this point?
Oh, are you asking me or Janet? Yeah,
we're trying to figure out who you asking, Michael.
Well, I'm asking the caller. not you.
Who's that?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I don't know how much he can actually accomplish in 4 years. You know, there's so much. So I don't know if he'll be effective. Anybody that's going to go in as president. I mean, the whole point of America is anybody can be president. You know, you don't have to be qualified to be president, but somehow Americans got it stuck in their head that people have to be qualified to be in the House or Senate, or because they were in the House or the Senate or a governor or something, that they're qualified to be president. And that's not true.
Okay.
I mean, you're qualified.
Do you think that Nikki Haley,
do you think that
Nikki Haley would be a good president?
No. I think Nikki Haley is a rhino. She is a neocon. Our defense.
She's a rhino? Okay, so for the folks who don't know what a rhino is, that's a Republican in name only, right? That's what it means, right?
Yes.
Okay, so would you ever vote for a female to be president, and who would be your ideal candidate if possible? Who would you think would be a good female president right now in the GOP?
Actually, I don't know of any. I know some of the representatives, some of the Senate. I need to know, you know, that first of all, yes, a woman can be president. I mean, you know, if she gets a vote and she meets all the requirements, as far as that goes, fine, no problem. But I also think that women are very emotional, and some of them, or maybe even a lot of them, I don't know, but my experience is that when they get a little power under their fingernails, then they start, you know, throwing it around and abusing it because they feel like they've got to prove something because they are a woman. So it would have to be somebody really unique that has, you know, impressed me to the point of I can look beyond that and see exactly what she's about as far as policy goes. So that's
now I want to do this real quick. I want to do this real quick. I went to conversation so go. I want to ask my co-host, Janet Davis. Janet, do me a favor. Take a look at the women presidents around the world real quick. Pull them up. Let's look at their terms. Because there are women presidents.
Wow.
There are leaders. There are women presidents. So let's take a look at that and look at how long they've been in power. How many votes they probably got. Janet's really good at this.
Well,
but that's
while Janet's
you know,
doing that.
Mm-hmm.
While Janet's doing that, can I ask a question to Suzette?
Sure.
If she had to choose between Hillary Clinton and Liz Cheney, which one would she choose to be president?
That's not fair. You have Liz Cheney, who has a father, Dick Cheney, who has not a good history. I would consider him a war criminal along with George Bush. But you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, so that would be difficult for me to consider. Hillary Clinton, she's got her own baggage. I might even have to decline from voting at all, but if I do that, then I surrender and I get what I get, you know. So
right.
I would I'd really have to pray about it.
You are a Republican, right? You are a Republican, right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so the things that were Liz Cheney was a Republican or still is. Her father was one. Donald Trump said, quote, Donald Trump, quote, said, he's not a war hero. A war hero would have died at that location or whatever, in a sense. I mean, do you find that truthful or really disrespectful for an individual who did fight in a war? When Donald Trump didn't fight a war, he avoided going to war.
Okay. Well, that was actually John McCain that he said that about, not Dick Cheney,
right.
Nevertheless, and John McCain had his own issues. It was his father that had basically wanted him to be in the military. He didn't really want to be there. He was actually not a very good, I don't know, I guess he was a fighter pilot. So he flew, but he wasn't very good. And he had caught an entire ship on fire.
He still flew. You ain't got to be good. Just try. You know, he flew. He did. He was in the military. Donald Trump wasn't.
Sure.
And Donald Trump, my whole thing is that Donald Trump disrespected a person that at least tried to be in the military, was in the military. You know, my question is simple.
As far as choosing Donald Trump over John McCain?
I'm saying, do you agree with what Donald Trump said about John McCain? They're both were in
yeah.
the same party, and seeing, you know, that this whole thing that came about, in my opinion, I think that Donald Trump was totally wrong to disrespect someone that is part of the same party, you know, and he attacks a lot of folks in the same party, meaning Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
yeah.
then I don't even want to get into what Mitt Romney just recently said and decided to get out of the party. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you guys are supposed to be Republicans, Democrats, all supposed to be backing, you know, though you have some differences here and there, but backing the party. But to be honest, the GOP has been, Donald Trump has made every individual either, you know, very negative towards each other. He's been negative towards a lot of them. My question was this. Do you agree with what Donald Trump said about John McCain
yes.
back then? The
and I'll tell you why.
Piece? Okay.
The reason why I agree with him and agree with anybody who exposes somebody for fraud and that can be proven, then I welcome that, same party or not. Republicans don't back each other because it's not one of those, you know, red down ticket ballot. Everybody that's red, I vote for. I don't care who they are and what they're about. I'm going to support them if they're Republican. No, it's who is this person? What are they about? What's their history? And, you know, that will tell me if they're going to go into Congress and do my bidding, you know, as far as a citizen goes.
Okay.
And if they mm-hmm. aren't, well, you know, then I wouldn't vote for them, even if they were Republican. And so basically when you're exposing people in your own party, that should be a good thing and not a bad thing. And if people didn't look into it further to know that what Donald Trump was saying was true, then they have this, you know, preconceived notion that's been put in their head by the media as far as, oh, he's a Gold Star family that he's just disrespecting. And, you know, he says he supports our military, but then he goes and this is, you know, one of the candidates is supposed to be his colleague. And this, well,
mm-hmm.
if people looked into it further, they would know why. And
okay, so
exposing fraud
so,
in any party,
so,
whether it's the
so,
opposite party or your own, I think should be welcome.
Can I say something about that?
Certainly.
I want to say something about that.
Go ahead.
John McCain was a POW who was captured during wartime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why he received his star. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For former President Trump to make that statement was disrespectful to anyone who
right.
has fought in combat when he's only in America because his grandfather dodged the draft in Germany and came to
mm-hmm.
America.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't agree with that statement that he made because he hasn't chewed some of the same dirt that the rest of us have to where you're crawling under barbed wire and you're ducking through bullets. You know, you're trying to keep yourself alive while thinking about your family. So
can I ask
can't
you a question?
Yes.
The people that served with John McCain that were also in that same POW camp that John McCain was in are on record, they're on video, they're on tape. Find them on YouTube that served with John McCain and were also in captivity with John McCain. And they themselves have come out against John McCain and telling their story about what happened and how that got twisted around and who and how he behaved. Do you think that those people were disrespecting John McCain? the ones that were there with
you. Wait a minute, hold on, Officer Crenshaw. I'm going to let everybody respond, but first I want Officer Crenshaw to respond to your question, and then I have something to say, and then I want Janet to go ahead and let us know what she found.
I'm not going
to say Crenshaw, I want Crenshaw to go ahead and respond first.
To a degree, they were disrespecting someone that they served with, because even though they were in the same shoes, every individual is different as far as what they can take and what they can't take. You got a lot of POWs that was forced to make video recordings. You got a lot of POWs that went through torture instead of making video recordings. Now, these people on YouTube now, making the videos now, you know, I can't answer why they're doing this now, when they had the opportunity to do it when they came right back, when they came back.
And he was alive.
So I can't, right, I can't
Hold
understand
on,
that, you know. But someone who has actually fought that probably should not be here today, that is here today, I have 100% respect for anyone who has.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never disrespect anyone who has actually fought, whether it be words or actions.
Good point.
Because I'm not in their shoes. I don't know what they're feeling at the time. I don't know what pressure they're going through at the time. Those guys might have been in the same POW camp, you know, but what were they doing when they took him into another room to video record or do whatever they were doing? What torture was he going through? It might not have been the same as the other. Everyone's endurance is different.
So with that being said, I want to go back to Janet. Janet, were you able to pull up anything regarding what I was asking?
Yeah, they're from different countries, but you know, there's not just presidents. There's prime ministers. You know, there's leaders.
Correct,
so
right.
The total of 63
right. But I
want to
look at the president.
But I want to say something about McCain.
Yeah, but I want to ask you that, but go ahead and say what you want to say about John McCain, but then I want you to share with us what you found as far as presidents, female presidents, because that's what you know, we were talking about here in the United States. I don't think this country is ready.
63.
Okay, so go ahead and say what you have to say about John McCain. Go ahead and say what you have to say about John McCain, and then share with us.
John McCain was tortured so much to the point he could not even raise his arms. He was always in pain. It wasn't just that he was, you know, he was tortured to the point where he could never even raise his arms like a normal person.
So he's partially paralyzed, right? He's partially paralyzed.
He's always in pain. And it was also told by historians that John McCain could have came home, but he chose not to. He wanted to come home with the men. So I don't know if someone's telling the truth. What I understand is how when somebody died, then they, all of a sudden people come out the woodwork and say things, but when they're alive, they don't say nothing at all.
Well, that's the easiest
way. That's the part I don't understand.
Okay. So share with us what you found as far as I'm not talking about prime ministers. I'm talking about female presidents around the world.
Female. I put in female presidents, and it came up a total of 63.
53 around the world.
53.
50. Okay. Okay.
SIX, 53.
Yeah. Okay, so right there when we were talking about the fear of a female being the president of the United States, and let alone that, because as I said earlier in the show, and you guys probably weren't on, and we were talking about the whole thing about Biden and how they're doing this whole thing with him and his health and, you know, his age and this and that and the other. And if something were to happen to President Biden, Kamala Harris would become
what's wrong with
president.
Herself? Excuse me, Janet, let me finish.
Okay.
Well,
let me finish. People are saying from the right, you know, he's falling down. He's doing this, that, and the other. He's not healthy. Donald Trump is saying the same thing. Other people are piggybacking off the same thing. He's not in good health to run the country for a second term. That's what is being put out there. And I'm like, really? I mean, he's doing pretty good. But the thing is this. Donald Trump is not that much younger, per se. He seems to be the individual who has a mental thing, in my opinion, more so than Biden. And here's the fear that Janet was trying to share that I've also sensed too, that if something were to happen to President Biden in a second term, America will have its first female president and a female president of color. That's the fear, I think, is happening right now. And that's the narrative, or that's the thing that they're trying to pass on to individuals in the GOP. If Biden wins again, it's a possibility that you'll have a black female president. Two negatives. Actually, three. A Democrat, female, and an individual of color. Three negatives. Now, think about that.
Nikki Haley said it herself. Mm-hmm. The last debate, Nikki Haley came out and said it.
So, I mean, you know, this is where we're getting to. This is where we're getting to. Now, you're concentrating on that, but you're not thinking about the fact that here is Mitch McConnell twice has paused in the speech and looked like he was a deer in headlights. But a doctor says, oh, he's fine. No, damn it, he didn't look fine both times to me. Two times this man has froze in the middle of a speech. What's wrong with him? And when that one individual, you all see the video. The first time they spoke to him and he didn't respond at all. And they escorted him away from the podium. The second time the woman walks up and says, you okay? He said, yeah. And he was like a deer in freaking headlights, you guys. Video don't lie. But they're going to tell you two times there's nothing wrong with him. Really? Nothing. That's just normal. Imagine if Biden stood up there and did the same thing, just froze, staring into the camera. GOP would have been all over that shit, okay? I mean, it's just sad of how all this political crap is going on, and all due respect to you, Suzette, but I don't agree with everything that you're saying. I really don't. I think that, unfortunately, the country is becoming, I'm thinking that the country is becoming more divided due to the fact that we are becoming more ignorant to what we see every day. We're becoming more susceptible to what we are told than what we see with our own eyes. I think that's the problem. We believe in the words than what we see. I truly agree. I mean, I'm serious. I truly believe that's, you know, when you get individuals like a Jim Jones or a man that was over there in Texas, you know, that can preach to you, and you believe those words, and you follow those words, only to your own demise. we have a problem. And we're listening to individuals, one individual, and believing what they're telling us and not believing what we're seeing. And when and these are the individuals who are separating us more so than putting us together. They sit up here and say, one says, well, Barack Obama is separating the country. Joe Biden is separating the country. These attacks. But we are one freaking country. And then there's other countries that are going to, you know, capitalize on our separation. China, North Korea, Russia, all of them are going to capitalize on our ignorance because we believe one person. Donald Trump is a dictator.
It's not so much that we believe. It's not so much that we believe one person. It's more so that we've gotten to the point to where we don't listen to our own primal instinct.
Correct.
As far as
okay.
What we think and feel.
Right. And so let me say this. My problem is that when, and I used to like Donald Trump. I ain't going to lie. I used to like him. The Apprentice, I used to love the show. You only saw him at the start of the show and the end of the show. You saw all the contestants all through the show. And he would go and show them everything they have to do. And then at the end, he'd be like, you're fired. You're fired. You're fired. That's it. That was his job. NBC paid him millions of dollars to say you're fired. Think about that. He got paid millions of dollars. And then once the show was canceled, he complained and bitched about it. It's on video, you guys. There's no lying about that. But what I'm really concerned about is that when a person who's the president of the United States claims that he gets along very well with the ministers of countries that we've had for decades, Russia, North Korea, China, you know, and say, oh, everything's cool. He told me he didn't do it, so I believe him. After our own government did a full investigation, everything in our government, by the way, taxpayers' dollars go to, every entity of our Homeland Security goes into this and said, this is what's going on. And the former president said, well, this president said he has nothing to do with it. And we're supposed to buy that. I don't trust it. Because in my mind, I'm thinking Donald Trump wants to be a Putin. He wants to be, what's his name, Kim Jong-un or whatever. He wants to be, you know, like those other countries. Because those are countries that are dictatorships. He even said he wants the Constitution to be moved out and just start a whole new government in a certain way. But then the same people who are supporting Donald Trump who claim that, hey, look, you know, we got to go by the commandments. We got to go by the, you know, the constitutional, the, you know, the rights and everything. No, this guy wants to change it. Understand that. And I ain't got to preach to nobody about it. You can look at the videos. You can look at it. Look at the speeches. And it's clear as water, and you can see through that shit. Janet, we looked at the whole thing about when they talk about the Biden crime family. Well, look at the Trump crime family. I'm not saying that the Bidens didn't do anything wrong. Anybody who's done anything wrong should be up against the law according to American law. We're not going to adjust it or change it for nobody. But there's a Trump crime family. You want to say there's a Biden one? Okay. I get it. Investigate them. And if they're guilty, prosecute them. But look at the Trump crime family. Janet, tell us about, real quick, about the daughter who had all these different patents that she stole from other places and countries.
Well, that was Ivanka from China.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was only trademark, but she ended up, I found out it was 30, not 18. You know, so that was kept under the rug. But she had all these trademarks. And then when designers, when she first went to China and they said they gave her all, you know, these deals, a lot of designers came out and said that it was plagiarizing. Because
plagiarizing? Oh, wait a minute.
When you say something of somebody else's and add one little thing to it and say it's your own, that you're not a designer. That's somebody else's design. You just
Wait. I have to put the brakes on that because, well, that's a family trait, isn't it? Because didn't the former president's wife do the same damn thing in two speeches? Plagiarized? Didn't
yeah.
she take words
identical.
From
Michelle Obama?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So you talk about crime, plagiarizing? I mean, come on, y'all. To me, that's more of a crime family. And let's not even go back into the whole Trump family back in Atlantic City, the casinos and everything. Where Atlantic City had to save their own ass and keep those casinos running. Because the money that was put into it and everything, Donald Trump started them. But he filed bankruptcy 7 times. And he's a self-proclaimed individual who has cheated and worked himself out of debt. Self-proclaimed now. You can look it up. But America, the GOP, wants him to be president and run this country again.
Don't
I'm
wait,
sorry.
Michael.
It's like this, and I want to speak. It's like a guy robs my house, right? And I'm like, you know what? I know you didn't mean to rob me, but it's cool. I'm not going to call the cops. I'm cool with that. And if you try to rob me again, hey, it's cool. I still ain't going to call the cops. You just doing what you feel is right. Come on, America.
That's going to keep happening, Mike.
I'm sorry?
I'm just saying that's going to keep happening because the Democrats are playing nicey-nice. You know, the Republicans pretty much doing what they want to do. The Democrats just need to go ahead, snatch them draws off, and do it good and hard. Bottom line.
Yeah.
But, Let me share something real quick with you guys. Here's breaking news. And it's funny. This comes from Jay King, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can say his name. Y'all know who Jay King is. It says here, and I'm sure he sent it to a lot of folks, he says, if you are receiving this text message, you are someone I believe is able to help make a change. Dr. Cornel West is running for president to add pressure and make a change. I'm asking you to help me help Dr. West because the most incredible change that has happened in modern politics, hold on, I got to open it up more. In modern politics, by supporting a candidate for the people, I'm asking you to pledge a donation of $2,000 to $6,500. The presidential campaign of Dr. Cornel West. Let me know how much you can contribute, and I will send a link to you personally. Let's be change makers. Thank you. Now, when he first said $2,000, I'm like, well, that ain't going to happen. Shit, it's costing me $2,000 a month just to live in this fucking place I have to live in until I get a place. So I'm sorry, Jay, I can't give $2,000 unless you're going to get me a room somewhere. But I'm serious. This just popped up.
And why is somebody trying to throw another person in the mix that, to take votes away from the prime candidate?
Well, and that's the thing that I said earlier about how come so many people are running for a certain, party and splitting the party in a sense. And I get the fact that all of them have different ideals and everything. But the thing is that how far off are your ideals from the other individual? Why does it need to be 16 people in one party that disagree with the other person? How come you guys can't come to an agreement of where, you know what, I'm going to back you, and if you make me part of your cabinet, cool. Because eventually that's going to happen. Whoever wins either party, whether one runs against the other, that president, whoever, may make you part of the cabinet. Right? It always happens. It always happens. So I don't get it. But no, this is what this just popped up on my phone as we were talking, and that's how come I went ahead and read it out loud on the show. Yeah, this came from J.K. Okay, you all know who Dr. Cornel West is. I'm sure most of you do. Okay, I don't know about him being president. He could be part of the cabinet, maybe. President? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Very bright and intelligent brother. I haven't seen anything that shows me president personality or, enough experience to handle something like that. I haven't seen it. Okay, so Janet, what's your response?
Well, I just wanted to also say, because I keep getting cut off, Ivanka, in those 18 trademarks, Donald Trump reversed, I guess, a deal that was with ZTE. Is that a phone, a cell phone-like company? What is ZTE?
ZTE? I've never heard
of it. ZTE.
Z, like a zebra. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I've never heard of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. Officer Kinsella, you have a response to?
I've never heard of what Janet was just saying, but no, I'm good. I'm good. I just I didn't know if Suzette was still on the line.
Yeah.
No, she's still here.
Yeah, I just wanted to let her know, thank you for your opinion on everything. I mean, I'm not upset. It's a touchy situation.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a touchy situation for me because I've been there. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
But, I love you and your husband to death.
Yeah.
I didn't take it any other way. We're all just having a conversation, and, I respect your opinions, and it's all good. I have no problems with it. I was just staying quiet, only because, with the conversation going there, I know if I had stepped in, I hate to assume this, but a lot of times when I do interject and I have something, as far as to counter whatever is being debated upon, then I get that, well, now we've got what about us, and why are we bringing this up? Why are we, as far as the plagiarism goes, you have the Joe Biden that had done that twice and he had dropped out of a presidential race. I think it was a Senate race because he was caught plagiarizing. And, even though it was years back, it was still the same thing, plagiarism. And he didn't get punished for it. He just dropped out and that was that. But it was in speeches that he was delivering during his campaign. So when we talk about the president's wife, The words weren't exact. They were similar. And you got to admit that when you give these kinds of speeches, they use a lot of the same words, a lot of these candidates, you know, that they're here to serve you, that they love America, that they're not just going to be working just for one side party, but all parties, you know, and together, and they want to unite the country. And so, you know, there a lot of it, a lot of these speeches can be put together using different wording, but they're all saying the same thing. Because if they weren't, why would anybody want to vote for them? So, you know, there's that. And there's other things, too, as far as the Ivanka patents and what was, you know, a little deeper there. It wasn't about the designers. It was about protecting her name that can't be used. She had patents, those 18 patents that were put originally on in 2017, which she had applied for way before Donald Trump was president, which she was elected in 2017. Or 2016 for 2017. And they were specifically so that people couldn't use her name on any of the products that were being made, you know, in China or internationally. So that's what that was about. And then she had other patents as well. But, I mean, so when we say, you know, all these patents and, you know, she's his daughter. And so, yeah, it can sound pretty incriminating, sure. But, you know, when we get down to it, the brass tacks, you know, what were they for? When did she get them? Was it before, during, or after his presidency so that we can know if there was any pay-to-play type thing going on during that, her stuff? So, you know, there's a lot of nuances to it, to what you guys are talking about. So, anyway, I was just waiting. I'm being quiet.
Yeah, but, you know what, I'm glad that you did that because, and the things that, and I did mute everybody's mic for a moment, so give you a chance to speak and say what you just said. But see, the only thing I'm looking at, I'm not attacking any parties. I'm not attacking Donald Trump. I look at if you committed a crime and if there's an investigation, if they want to do investigations, that's fine with me. We need to know who's committing a crime that are public servants, right? Because we can't trust them. You know, we see a lot of stuff that happens with police chiefs. As I said earlier, I live in Atlanta, well, outside of Atlanta. You know, the jail here in Atlanta is under heavy investigation. The same jail that Donald Trump had to come to and all the other 19 had to come to do their mugshots and this and the other. But this jail is under a heavy investigation because there's been numerous people who have died in this jail. This has nothing to do with Republican, and this has nothing to do with Republican and Democrat. This has to do with people. Okay.
Exactly.
So, that's my concern. And the thing is, I'm hearing a lot of background noise. So hold on a minute. Let me clear this up for a moment. So that all I'm saying is that when I ask these questions, I'm not asking based on party. I'm asking on character, individuals. Because there's people, you know, I've said to folks, I don't vote Democrat just because it's Democrat. There's many of Democrats I don't vote for. I'm not party tied, per se. I'm looking at, you know, what you say is one thing. And then I look at the background of the individual that's running for an upper office. What have you done in the past, too? I have to really look at that and how well you received you were, how well of a job you did in order for you to be considered to go up the chain, right? Because we have to remember, we pay these people salaries. They choose what they want. How many times have you seen where, you know, not just Democrats, Republicans, but when the Senate says, hey, we need a raise, let's vote on it. You think they're going to vote no? Hell no. They're going to vote yes. More money. We, the people, don't have a say-so in it. But when the situation comes up, they'll vote for more money. They vote yes. So, you know, I truly appreciate you coming on and sharing you know, of what you know and what you experience and your thought process. I truly do appreciate you and Bring It Boy coming into the chat room. I just bring up these conversations so we can have a conversation about it. My whole thing is that I think that, you know, granted we have amendments, we have a, you know, constitution, this and the other, but over the years there has been certain amendments to certain things in the constitution. It's been done many a times. Supreme Court makes those decisions, this, that, and the other. And I think that there should come a time that some things should be changed in the benefit of the public at large. You look at right now, and Janet knows, and I said I want to talk about this, and we may not have time to talk about it now. But if you look right now of where all these strikes that are going on, entertainment strike, UPS strike, automotive strike, all these strikes. And it's all about what? Money, power. It's all about that, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's all about, you know, well, you're not paying me enough and everything. You guys are making billions of dollars, and I'm only getting this. And then now you're not going to be able to protect my creative art from being part of AI, you know, artificial intelligence and everything. Yeah, I understand the concern, and it needs to be, you know, discussed, and people need to be protected. Their creativity needs to be protected. So all of this is happening now. And let alone all the catastrophic storms that we're getting, we're getting a lot of crap happening within 1 year. You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy. Before we get out of here, though, I want to go ahead and thank you first and foremost, Bring It Boy here in the chat room, posting great show. Thank you, Night Off. Thank you, Bring It Boy. So is that you want to say something real quick before we get out of here?
Oh, I just want to say real quick, thank you very much, all of you. I enjoyed the discussion, and I totally believe we're entitled to different opinions. That's what makes us who we are and how
exactly.
We, you know, present ourselves, yes. I just wanted to say have a good week, and thank you again for taking my call.
Oh, you're more than welcome every time. I love a great discussion. You know, I don't call it a debate, just a discussion, you know, and that's what I enjoy, and I appreciate the both of you, Bring It Boy yourself, for coming and joining us. And with that being said, also, I want to get with Officer Crenshaw real quick. And Officer Crenshaw, what's your final thoughts?
My final thoughts is to keep doing what we do, to keep going where we're going, and to bring it, boy!
Okay. Bring it, boy. Okay, all right. I like that. Okay. Hey, you guys, look forward to hearing you guys next Saturday. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. In fact, he said LOL back at you. Officer. I think some of you guys already know, last Saturday, we talked about it earlier in the show. Janet lost last Saturday, well, actually started Friday into Saturday, two of her most precious pets. In fact, Janet dropped, I think she got mad at me because I put everybody on mute while you were talking at the time, so she might have got mad at me. But anyway, she lost her two precious dogs. And then on Sunday, my house caught on fire. So I'm actually broadcasting from an inn, and it's costing me like $100 a damn day, but I'll be fine. And the timing of it was so crazy because I just introduced two new shows. But give me a little time. We may be on air next week, maybe not. I'm working with some folks that are trying to help out. Next week I should have everything in order, or the week after that. But I truly appreciate you guys' support. you know, this is something I love to do. I love talking with you guys, and I'm going to keep it going. And getting two new shows just starting up, and this happening right at that time is really unexpected, but it's going to keep rolling, you know. You know, I have faith in what I can do. So,
I'm sorry to hear that for both of you.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Oh, I said, I'm sorry to hear that about both of your tragedies. That's devastating in both counts. I have animals, and I couldn't imagine losing, you know, anyone. I mean, I lost one, and that just devastated me. But also losing your house, I mean, wow. You are doing very well for that emotionally.
Yeah,
you're holding it together. I don't know how you're doing it.
It's interesting because the thing is that where I had to laugh to keep from crying is what I said. Because I was at work when it happened. When I came home, it was like, oh, my God. It was pitch black because, of course, there's no electricity. And I have my cell phone. I have two phones. I have my store phone and my personal phone. And luckily, I have one of them charged up. And I walk in, and I'm looking, and there's, you know, where they tore out the whole ceiling, you know, the sheetrock in the ceiling. It's all on the floor. The insulation's on the floor. There's, you know, the floor is wet, you know, soot smell, soot everywhere. It was just one of those things that I felt like this got to be a movie. You know, I'm not really seeing this. But this is my shit.
I know you're running short of time. But did they find the car?
Oh, yeah. It was electrical. It happened in the wall. It happened in the wall. It was electrical. So, yeah, interesting thing. But, you know, it went through an investigation. Of course, you don't get, you know, the whole printout until, like, weeks later. It takes them forever to get a final definition and everything. But I'm good. You know, thank God no one got hurt. No one died. Or, you know what I mean? You know, but I mean.
Yeah, that's good.
But with that being said, we're going to get out of here. And I'm staying at this little inn. And what I found interesting is that just the other day, I come home and I'm walking into the inn. I'm smelling this great smell. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Now, there's a Popeye's chicken right next door to this inn, right? And I'm like, nah, Popeye's ain't cooking this, right? And I go up to the tip of the road, and I'm thinking it's the house next by. But just down the street, this is how strong it was, just like a block away, is this gas station. And they have these three tents there. I noticed the tents from a distance. So I started walking that way. And it's a outdoor where these individuals are cooking tacos, you know, all Mexican meals, tacos, burritos, quesadillas, and everything. And I'm seeing folks just gathering around. I went ahead and got three tacos, came back to my room and ate them. And I said, damn, this is good. These have got to be the best tacos I ever had in my life. I'm not going to lie. Went back and got a quesadilla. So when we get off the air, I'm going to go back up here again because they're going to be here again. They're only here two nights a week. And get me some more. So that's how good they are. So you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate it. TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Every Saturday, the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, airs. Coming up on the 20th is Gwen Ross, Hip Hop, okay, the Storytellers. Hopefully we'll be able to get things all in order, but she's scheduled on Fridays. Okay, Friday evenings. And then Mr. Darian Reynolds, in fact, Gwen broadcasts from Las Vegas, Nevada. Darian broadcasts from Birmingham, Alabama. So I'll keep you guys posted when we get everything in order. And I really appreciate your support. Great individuals, great show. Gwen has some of the greatest old school hip hop songs that I'm sure you would be like, damn, I forgot about that. You know, seriously, she's awesome. Okay. With that being said, thank you, guys.
You're welcome, and good night.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night. I'm trying to find something here. I got 5 minutes left. I did.
Mike blanked out.
I'm trying to find. No. I'm trying to find something to play. I'm trying to find something to play to close out the show. and I want to do something.
Shake your booty. Shake your booty. I like
it.
And I can't lie.
No,
whatever
you know what?
Decide.
I'm gonna play a track. I'm gonna play a track from Gwen Ross's playlist, and we're gonna end with Eric B. and Rakim Paid in Full. Good night, you guys.
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Pump that bass.
Interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin from our on-the-spot passport.
Oh my gosh. The music just turns me on.
Thinking of a master plan.
Step with the record. Step with the record.
Thinking of a master plan.
Step with the record. Step with the record.
Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I just deep up, still coming up for lunch. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling, be still, don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. If I strive, then maybe I stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man do I miss a pen and a paper, a stereo.